Do you work with a person that is absolutely despicable? They're mean, they're hateful, they are so full of pride, and they think that they are so wonderful and that they own it all. How do you live with a person like that? Is there any hope for them? Maybe this is your husband. Maybe this is your wife. Maybe this is someone that has exalted themselves against you. Is there any hope, or do you give up? Oh, beloved, don't give up. God is God. Isn't it, beloved, to be around a person who is obtrusive, who thinks that they know it all, who thinks that they are, in essence, God's gift to that company, or God's gift to that marriage, or God's gift to that relationship. And yet they're mean, and they're cruel, and everything revolves around them. And if it doesn't go their way, watch out. You're going to endure their wrath. Remember, I ask you, do you give up on a person like that? Is there no hope for someone who's in that state? Well, we're going to look at a man who was in that state. God knows how to humble people. Now listen, humble them, break them, but not destroy them. Maybe, and I want to be careful here, but maybe you're that person. Maybe you have just excelled so much. Maybe as a woman, you have excelled so much in your field that you are admired and respected, and people, because you're an authority, bow to you and kowtow to you and are just under your authority. You speak and they move. And yet you're not nice to them. You're mean to them. And in your heart, you know that you're being that way. And you kick yourself for a little while, and then you, instead of kicking yourself, you begin to kick them. Because after all, if they were what they ought to be, you wouldn't have to be this way. Maybe you're a man in that position. Maybe as a husband or as a wife, this is the kind of authority that you're exerting because you feel like you're married to an absolute fool, somebody that doesn't know what they're doing and doesn't know where it's at. And so by reason of just the years passing and the circumstances, you become like that. Do you know what? That's not pleasing to God. And God has to deal with it. We've been looking at Nebuchadnezzar. We met him in the first chapter of Daniel chapter 1. We met him when he came home in victory to claim his throne. It was the year 605 B.C. We saw that he had a dream, and that he was told in that dream that he was the head of gold, that he was this great king. In chapter 3, we saw him build a statue of gold. And when he built that statue of gold, he was building that statue of gold in defiance to God, in a sense, because God told him that after the gold, there would be another kingdom, and then there would be a third kingdom, and then there would be a fourth kingdom, and then the fifth kingdom would be God's kingdom. And he wasn't going to have any of it. It was all going to be gold. His kingdom would last forever and ever and ever. You need to understand this background in order to appreciate what is happening in Daniel chapter 4. So just know that this is a very proud man. This is a man who has been told by God that he is a great king. This is a man who has acknowledged that there is a God in heaven, and that is the God of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But this is not a God, this is not a man that has bowed his knee to that God. And you may be working or living with someone that has not bowed their knee to that God. And because they haven't, I mean, they're walking in this great pride. Well, in Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar picks up the pen and he begins to write. You can see this by asking the question, who? Who is speaking? Now, this is so important because remember, this program is about you discovering, discerning truth for yourself so that you know how to live according to God's precepts for life. Nebuchadnezzar, verse 1, the king to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language that live in the earth. May your peace abound. Here is Nebuchadnezzar taking a pen. He is beginning to write. He is addressing the people himself. And as he addresses the people himself, he is addressing people of every language. Now you say, why? Well, it's because his kingdom was very, very extensive. If you look at the map that is in your study guide, you will see how far Babylon extended. But it's not as far as future kingdoms would extend, as we're going to see. But at that time, there was no kingdom like Babylon. So Nebuchadnezzar takes up pen. He is king to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language that live in the earth. He says, may your peace abound. It has seemed good to me to declare the signs and wonders which the Most High God has done for me. Now there you see that term, Most High God. Here once again, you want to mark, this is a reference to God. So color it yellow. So you see the light of it all and you get the light and you get the understanding. Most High God, the name for Most High God is El Yon, ELYON. And you're going to meet this name numerous times as you read through Daniel chapter 4, because we're going to see what this name really means and the significance of it. It says in verse 3, how great are his signs? How great are the signs of El Yon? And how mighty are his wonders? His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. You're saying, whoa, wait a minute. Is this the Nebuchadnezzar of chapter 1, 2, and 3? Yes, it is. It's the same Nebuchadnezzar. You say, what's happened? We're going to find out what has happened. Because what Nebuchadnezzar is doing is he is sitting down and writing to all people of every language and, as you and I know, because this is the word of God, to every age. And he wants to tell them what he has discovered about God. And so at the beginning, he says he is El Elyon. He is great. His wonders are absolutely incredible. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. He says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, and it says his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at ease in my house and flourishing in my palace. Now, I want you to see, I was at ease in my house. The first half of Nebuchadnezzar's reign was one of conquering. I mean, going out, and we're going to look at it. But he was going out and he was just conquering one country after another country after another country. The last half of his reign was one when he stayed home for the most part. He stayed in Babylon. He enjoyed the things that he had achieved, and he basked in the magnificence of the city that he had built. There was a Neo-Babylonian empire that Nabopolassar, his father, ruled over. But now this was Babylon. This was Babylon the Great. And so during the last half of his life, or the last half of his reign, I should say, he stayed at home. So he's at home. And he said, I was at ease in my palace and I was flourishing there. I mean, I had no needs. I had no wants or anything. Everything was going my way. Right. And he said, I saw a dream. All right. Now, here's another dream that he's having. And you want to mark that the same way we've marked the word dream, because dreams are very important. Dreams and visions are very important in this book, Daniel, who was numbered among the minor prophets. And it said, and it made me fearful. And these fantasies, as I lay on my bed, and the visions in my mind kept alarming me. It was a nightmare. It was a nightmare. I mean, he couldn't shake this dream. He couldn't shake this vision. He says, so I gave orders to bring into my presence all the wise men of Babylon, that they might make known to me the interpretation of this dream. Now, what I want to suggest is that you just take a blue pen and underline, maybe in a wiggly line, the interpretation of this dream. Because we're going to see the dream, we're going to see the interpretation, we're going to see that this is a key word. Once again, we're continuing to mark Nebuchadnezzar because we want to know who this man is. We want to know as much about him as we can. And I will tell you why. Because he is a major figure among all the prophets. I mean, among the major prophets. Isaiah talks about him a lot. Jeremiah talks about him a lot. And Ezekiel talks about him a lot. Because God has lessons that he wants us to learn. But also, and listen very carefully, because Babylon is a figure, it is an empire that starts in Genesis chapter 11 and goes all the way through Revelation chapter 18 and 19. So it is a major figure, not only in the past, but also in the future. And I want to remind you that Babylon is present day Iraq. Okay? He says, all right, then the magicians, the conjurers of the Chaldeans, and remember Chaldeans are Babylonians, and the diviners came in. And I related the dream. This time he's going to tell them what the dream was to them. But they could not make its interpretation known to me. I told them the dream and they just sat there scratching their heads. I don't know, King. I don't know. I'm sorry. This one I cannot figure out. I mean, they didn't conspire. They didn't come up with something. It may have been because he was at home. It may have been because he was flourishing. You know, we're easier to get along with many, many times when the pressure's off. It's when the pressure's on and you know and you understand, especially if you are a career woman. You know that you're trying to keep too many balls in the air, so to speak, and it is almost hard and they come crashing down and the thud is great. But when a vacation comes or when the pressure comes off, then it's so much easier for you. Well, he goes on to say, but, and remember, we like these buts, but finally, Daniel came in before me, whose name is Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God. Now we know why he was named Belteshazzar, because it was one of the names of the God of Nebuchadnezzar. And he said, he came in, he says, and he was a man in whom a spirit of the holy gods was. In other words, and there's another way to translate this, and I prefer the other translation. The other translation is, he was a man who had the spirit of the holy God in him. And I think that by this time, when Nebuchadnezzar is recognizing this, it's not holy gods anymore. It is the one God who is supreme. Well, what does Daniel do? And what does Daniel tell you? And what is this dream about? Well, listen, it is not only a historical event, but it has incredible application to your life and my life. And so we'll talk about it when we come back right after these announcements.
We spent 3.5 hours in the Word today, and it flew by because we're doing so much in observing so many different parts of the text. It changed my life and helped me own my faith instead of depending on people for my faith. So I would strongly encourage anybody who's even considering it or has thought about it, please come, because it'll change your life.
Go to precept.org/bootcamp to register today.
What would it
look like for you to impact the next generation? As children grow up, they have lots of questions about life. What if there was a way to help them discover the answers for themselves? Answers that can only be found in the truth of God's Word. At Precept Ministries International, we have created the Discover for Yourself, or D4Y series, to help the little ones in your life do just that. These hands-on books teach the basic skills of Bible study to children as young as 8 years old, unlocking the door to a lifetime of discovering God's Word. Throughout the month of May, for a gift of any amount, we are offering a copy of our best-selling D4Y title, plus a mini-series of 5 Precepts for Life episodes with Kay Arthur and Jana Arndt. Go to precept.org/Jonah to find out more.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
You're back, and Daniel's standing before the king. And Daniel is about to give him the interpretation of the dream. But first, Nebuchadnezzar has to tell him what he dreamed, and this is what he says. He says, "O Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, since I know that a spirit of the holy gods is in you, and no mystery baffles you," and I would mark mystery, as I said, the same way that you mark dream, "tell me the visions of my dream, which I have had along with its interpretations. Now these were the visions in my mind as I lay on my bed." So you can see that it is Nebuchadnezzar who was still speaking. I was looking, and behold, there was a tree in the midst of the earth, and his height was great. And the tree grew large and became strong, and his height reached to the sky, and it was visible to the end of the whole earth. Its foliage was beautiful, its fruit abundant, and in it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it, and the birds of the sky dwelt in its branches, and all living creatures fed itself from it. I was looking in the visions in my mind as I lay on my bed, and behold, an angelic watcher, a holy one, descended from heaven. He shouted out and spoke as follows: chop down the tree, cut off its branches, strip off its foliage, scatter its fruit, let the beasts flee from under it and the birds from its branches. Yet leave the stump with its roots in the ground, but with a band of iron and bronze around it, and the new grass of the field, and let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him share with the beasts of the earth. Hey, were you listening carefully? Were you able to read around along? What happens when this holy angelic watcher speaks? What does he say? He's talking about a tree. Chop down the tree, cut off its branches, scatter its fruit, let the beasts of the field flee from it. They were finding shelter in it, but let them go. The birds were nesting in it, but let them fly away. And then watch what happens. This is why, beloved, it is so important that you read God's Word slow enough, carefully enough, so that you see things like this and discern them and say, hey, look at that. Look at that. It says, let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Him what? Him the stump. Him the stump. Him the stump of the tree. Remember, the tree is cut down, but its stump is still left. Yet what's around that stump? Now watch, a band of iron is around that stump. The roots are left. They're not destroyed, but a band of iron and bronze is around it. It's living in the new grass of the field. And then it says, let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Or maybe I should go, as I'm bringing my hands down, I should probably be bringing them up. It's the dew comes from the ground of heaven. And it says, and let him share with the beasts, in the grass of the earth. Wait a minute. Let him, this stump of the tree that has been cut down, let him share with the beasts of the field. Let him share the grass with the beasts of the field. And your mind ought to be going, what is going on? It ought to be going, Nebuchadnezzar was saying, what is going on? The magicians and the conjurers and the wise men of Babylon didn't know what was going on. They couldn't figure it out. But you know Daniel. And you know that Daniel has a God who knows these things. And this is why Nebuchadnezzar is writing this way and saying, hey, everybody on this earth, pay attention. This is God. This is a mighty God. All right. Now, let his mind be changed to that, from that of a mind, of a man. Let his mind be changed from that of a man. Now, watch. That word mind could also be translated heart. And it could be translated heart because in Jewish thinking, in those times, a man thought with his heart. You know, keep your heart, your mind with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life. All right, so he's saying, all right, this root, this stump that is left, that has bands of iron and bronze around it, that's going to eat the grass of the field with the beast, is going to have his mind changed from that of a human being. It says, and let a beast's mind or heart be given to him. So here is this man who is now a stump of a man, who has this band that is kind of squeezing him and holding him, that is now has the mind of a beast. And it says, and let seven periods of time pass over him. Then it says this sentence is by the decree of the angelic watchers. And the decision is a command of the holy ones in order that the living might know. In other words, in order that you and I might know, that all the peoples of this world might know what? That the Most High, El Elyon, is the ruler over the realm of mankind. What does this great king want everyone to know? He wants them to know that God, El Elyon, is sovereign, that he is the ruler over mankind, and he bestows it on whom he wishes and sets it over, now catch this, the lowliest of men. God is the ruler of mankind. He sets it over. It says he bestows this rulership of mankind on whomever he wishes, and he sets over it the lowliest of men. Now, if you would stop and think, I remember, I'm old enough, but I remember World War II, and I remember a little song that we sang. Whistle while you work. Hitler is a jerk. Mussolini is a sheeny. Whistle while you work. Now, Hitler and Mussolini, Mussolini from Italy, Hitler from Germany, just in case you're so young you don't remember that stuff, they were despots. They were horrible rulers. You know what Hitler did. I don't care if anyone tells you that the Holocaust never existed. That is a lie straight from the pit of hell. It did exist. He was determined to exterminate every single Jew off of the face of this earth. He was the most despicable of men. He was the lowliest of men. Do you know that Nabopolassar, the father of Nebuchadnezzar, wrote over and over again, I am the son of a nobody. I am the son of a nobody. I am the son of a nobody. And you know what? You may have been the daughter of a nobody. You may have been the son of a nobody. Your father may have been an alcoholic. Your mother may have been just the cruelest woman on the face of this earth and just, just a slob of a woman. I don't know what you came from. But I know this. I know that many times when that happens to us, we are determined that we are not going to be like that. And that's good. But sometimes then we begin to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, don't we? And we kind of climb and we kind of push and everything. A lot of women began to feel that they were demeaning themselves by being women, by staying at home, by being mothers, by being wives. They were fed a lie, and they bought that lie. And consequently, they left their God-ordained role as a wife and mother. I want you to understand that. As a wife and mother, and moved out of the house, tried to balance the home, tried to balance the career, and you understand what I'm saying if you've been there, and trying to pull yourselves up by your own bootstraps, and finally succeeding, and the statistics are telling us that women succeed more than men. Women and girls in school are succeeding more than boys. It's kind of like women have overachieved and they're paying an awful price. And you know it. You know how you're torn if you're going through these things. But you're rationalizing and you're trying to say, but I'm giving them this and I'm giving them that. You've pulled yourselves up by your bootstraps. And now you've achieved. But what you don't know is this, maybe. What you don't know is this. I don't want to be presumptuous. You don't know or realize that God is sitting on His throne. And God is able to exalt, and God is able to bring low. And if He exalts and if He brings low, be you male or female, whatever He does, you've got to know that God is a lover of mankind. That God loves the world, and that God wants you, and He wants me to live for Him. He wants us to realize that He is God, that His dominion is over everything, and to let Him rule in our lives.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.